This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Free for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. We understand that the journey as a supporter isn't always smooth sailing, but rest assured you're not alone. There's a vast network of fellow fans who share your passion and may be experiencing similar challenges. Honesty is key in any relationship. If your friend asks you how you are feeling, tell them honestly. If you're going through a difficult time, let them know. Opening up about how you are feeling can really make a difference. After all, they are your mates for a reason. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Welcome back to the channel and welcome back to another edition of the Spurs Chat podcast. Unfortunately, in this edition, we'll be talking about a fourth consecutive loss, 4-2 here at Anfield. Now, of course, Liverpool took a 4-0 lead. Salah in the 16th minute, Robertson in the 45th minute, Gakpo in the 50th minute, Elliot in the 59th minute. Spurs getting two back in the second half through sub Richarlison in the 72nd minute and through Captain Heung-min Son in the 77th minute. Just want to say we're live on YouTube right now. We're also live on X and on Facebook. So please do give us your thoughts and comments on today's game and whether you are still 100% behind Ange Postecoglou. Now, the league table now looks like this. Spurs remain fifth in the Premier League table. We've got three games to go. We've got 60 points from 35 games. Newcastle have played the same amount of games. They're now 4 points behind in sixth spot. And Chelsea are seventh in a Europa Conference League spot. They are 6 points behind Spurs, played the same games. Heung-min Son has just come out and said it's a disappointing afternoon. We have to face it and get better. We take the pain and we take the defeat. We have to be ready for this big fight and challenge. Ange Postecoglou has just come out and said we just didn't try to play our football in the first half. Now, the stats from the game, Liverpool had 45% possession to Tottenham's 55%. Shots, Liverpool had an incredible 25 shots to Tottenham's 11. Shots on target, Liverpool 13, Spurs 6. Corners, Liverpool 8, Spurs 3. Fouls, Liverpool 14, Spurs 12. As per usual, we've got three very special guests with us. Back with us, actor Ricky Norwood. Ricky, how are you?
Fuming, mate. Fuming, really and truly. I've got to say, I mean, we've had some terrible performances over the last, you know, couple of months. But I had to turn it off at 70 minutes, bro. And I never really turn it off or I never stop watching. I always like to support the boys until the end. But by 70 minutes, bro, I had enough. I mean, I could feel it after 15, if I'm honest. First, you know, they were talking that we came out and we gave a reaction for the first 10 minutes. It doesn't mean anything. I could see it. I could see that we was doing the same things, and I know we'll get into it. But when it got 70 minutes, my friend, I had to turn it off. I had to. I was fuming at that point. You know, there is a lot of work to be done in this team, for this club, for the badge. There are certain Tottenham traits that have been with us for years under many a manager. And It's massively time for the club to back the manager and for the scouts to, you know, go out there and do what they need to do and make this painful rebuild happen, for goodness sakes, because we need something else. Because when it comes down to the crunch, the same old story. It's the same old story, bro. We fall at the first hurdle.
We will get into it. Also back with us, your channel regular, Craig Dearman. Craig, how are you?
same as Rick, Chris, and, you know, same as every other Tottenham fan. And, you know, fair play to the away fans today, you yourself included. You know, we could hear you on the telly still singing. I know how rubbish I feel, let alone somebody who drives all over the country like yourself and all the other away fans that goes to every game, spending your money on tickets, food, petrol, diesel, whatever it is, train fares to be served up there again. You know, that we haven't picked up any points since the 7th of April. That's dreadful. That is dreadful.
Do you know what? Someone just sent me a stat. If the table was since Christmas, Tottenham Hotspur would be sitting in 16th spot.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me. It really doesn't. It's terrible. It really is. And I will get into the games, and talk about the Tottenham goals. But I think let's just get into it, Chris. Introduce Billy.
I'm delighted to say that we've got Billy T with us for the very first time. So, Billy, you're very welcome. Thanks for joining us. You will know Billy from X with his very witty and hilarious posts, which I love, I must say, Billy. How are you?
Yeah, terrible, man. Absolutely terrible. At least the four of us turned up, though, which can be more than I said for a lot of our players. And it's a pleasure to be on, man. Thank you very much.
Before we get any of your thoughts on today's game, right at the end, as I normally do for the YouTube channel, I normally film the players coming off the pitch. And the players did come over and applaud the fans at the away end today inside Anfield. I just want to play you this clip because I want to get all of your opinion on what you think Ange Postecoglou meant to the fans in the away end. Let's come to you first. Watching that, do you think that the away fans were mocking Ange Postecoglou, or do you think it's a sign of support? And also, I asked you off air, but I want to ask you, of course, on air, how is your support for Ange Postecoglou right now after four defeats?
Well, to answer the second question, like I am behind Ange, and I do think we need to do this painful rebuild thing. And like at the beginning of the season, when we thought about what a transition season might look like, this is kind of what I was fearing it might look like. And we didn't see it for like a good half a season. But this is kind of what it is, was always going to be. But to go off in this kind of manner has really sort of tested me a little bit. And how, you know, there's a couple of decisions which are a bit frustrating, which I'm sure we'll get into later. And actually, you know what you're talking about? I think I do have a bit of insider information, actually, because my mate texted me just after the game. I won't name him. I'll remain nameless. And he said, I'll just read it to you now. He said, I think Ange might just be pointing at me. I kept saying four in a row over and over again, as in the losses. And he kept pointing at me to his head. So I think it actually might have been my mate who he was pointing to, who was gesturing like four at him. And I know, like, in the heat of the moment, I'm sure we're all feeling frustrated with Ange at the moment. We're all feeling frustrated with the club. But I think we'd be mad to get rid of him at this point. We've got to go. We can't keep doing that. We can't keep doing it over again. So I'm really, really frustrated, to answer your question, mate. But, you know, this is what it's going to be like for a bit, I think, and we've got to stick by it.
Billy, in your opinion, what does need to change in the short-term future and the long-term future?
Heavy investment is what needs to change in the short-term future in the playing squad, man. We have got... I know there was a report this week on Twitter circling around that there are 12 outfield players up for available. That number might have doubled after today. Who knows? It could be all of them. But we've got to invest heavily in the playing squad because it's a long way behind. I know we started that... You know, some good signings last season in the summer, but we've got a lot to do still.
Ricky, let's get your thoughts on Ange Postecoglou there.
Okay, so I didn't really get the audio. So for me, it was silent. So I was just watching the man. So I don't know if there was audio. Okay, so I'm just going to go on from what I saw, and just on the on what Billy just said there about his friend's text. First and foremost, he claps the crowd, right? So he appreciates the away crowd for coming to the game and still supporting him at the end of the game after a result and after a performance like that. So it starts off with the clap. And when he does the point and then he goes to his head, right? So, like, that's either, like, keep your head up, like, keep your head up, or, like, know who I am is the two things that come from it. But I think that the biggest thing that he does is he taps his heart, which says to me, it's like it's almost like he knows what's going on. He's like, I'm here for the fight type of energy. Do you know what I mean? So if he didn't tap his heart, I would have read it in a bit of a back and forth sarcastic thing. But when we look at what Ange just said in all of his press conferences since he's turned up, he's let the fans be and he's let the fans express themselves. In our euphoria, and when we're talking about league titles, and when we're talking about going unbeaten, and when we're talking about all of these things at the beginning of the season, and I think that he accepts the same when it comes down to the criticism. The criticism is there for all to see. With the results, when it's come down to the crunch over the last 5-7 games, whatever it's been now, we have dropped off a major cliff. We have not been able to get any momentum. We have not seen that version or that litmus test that we saw at the first 10 games. We haven't seen that Ange ball again at this point in time. And the majority of our players have come back, the important ones. So there's all of these frustrations. But for me, what it looks like is that he is up for this challenge. He sees the problems. He has recognized the problems. I think he recognized the problems before we did, when people might have been given, like, you know, better performances, higher level performances, but they wasn't that higher level type of player. And I think that he sussed it out a long time before we did. But, you know, I think he's trying to keep the squad moving. He's trying to keep them together while it's all crumbling. But in every one of his squads, he's had the same criticisms. He's had the same questions. And he's had the same fallacies. Do you know what I mean? The same opinions from every single supporter. Celtic supporters, there was a Twitter thread from Invert the Wing where he put up a ton of tweets from rival supporters. And Celtic fans were saying the exact same thing. Do you know what I mean? So I think that the man knows what is going on. I think that he appreciated the crowd for being there. And as well as the love that he got at the beginning of the season, he will take the criticism too for making decisions or for putting players in positions where they shouldn't have been or for trusting a player. Do you know what I mean? Putting your faith and your trust in how they've been during training and go, all right, and cool. I'm gonna put my chips on you, my friend. And then they go out and then they perform like, you know what I mean, League Two players. So I think it's a mixed bag, but I think today is a culmination of a lot of frustration and a lot of emotion from all of us Spurs fans. And I'm trying to keep it, you know, calm and trying to collect my thoughts, but I'm sure that everybody's fuming out there. And there's so much to say about every aspect of this game, not just that management. These players and the players that have been on wearing the shirt for years and years and years under a ton of different managers, when it comes to the crunch, has not been able to step up to the challenge. And we're just seeing this in this assessment of this new way under Ange Postecoglou. We're seeing those that are not stepping up at all. We're seeing those that have fell off of a cliff. We're seeing those that some are trying to believe and some are trying to push, but they're doing it by themselves. There's a lot to be done with this squad, and we've all known it, but we just enjoyed the good times at the beginning of the season, and maybe we all got a bit wrapped up. I definitely did, and I was enjoying it while I was there. Do you know what I mean? Which shows me that there is some good in there, but yeah, there's a lot of change that needs to happen.
Yeah, yeah, well said. Craig, let's get your thoughts on what you think Ange meant by that.
Similar to Ricky, if you watch it again, he's doing this and he's doing this. So he's tapping his heart as well. I think he's basically saying to the fans, it could be Billy's mate, he could be pointing it. I don't know. Who knows? Perhaps somebody will ask him in the press conference. But for me, it's just saying keep your heads, you know, I've got this. That's what I think he's trying to say. What else can he say? You know,
it's a bit of a tough one, isn't it? Because we're sitting in a European spot. It looks like that we will get a Europa League spot, which I think most of us would have taken at the start of the season, you know, certainly with Harry Kane leaving. But of course, you don't want to be losing games in the manner that we are, four on the trot, you know, sitting here, we're all disappointed. To be honest, I don't even know how I feel about it. I know that we need vast investment. I know that we need a major rebuild. I agree completely with Ricky. The fact that, you know, a lot of us got completely carried away by, you know, those first 10 games. We expected a lot more. We expected to finish then in a Champions League spot. Some of these players haven't performed, but it is so obvious that we haven't got the depth. How many times have we said that? But however, we've gone through seven people have stood in that dugout in the last 5 years. I know some people are now calling, you know, for Ange to go, which I just find incredibly sad.
Yeah. No, I was just about to say that, Chris. We cannot get rid of this guy, because I don't know about everybody else. I haven't got the energy to go for another manager and another rebuild. What you got to look at it is, this guy's not even halfway through the rebuild, right? We knew it was going to be painful. We knew there was work to do. First 10 games, I think, masked over a lot of issues that were still there and came out to bite us later on in the season, which we're seeing now. If you get another manager in, A, who are you going to get? And B, don't you think that manager's going to look at your squad again and think, right, I'm going to give that player another half a season, a season? All the players that everybody's been saying are not good enough for this team, time and time again. And he's going to get there. He's going to get the squad he wants. And I think then and only then we can judge him fully. The players he wants out in the summer, as Rick said, there could be 10, 12 players we want out. We're not going to get that many out. I very much doubt that. And we still need to get the players in. But you cannot keep changing managers. As I said on the pod the other night, the last time a manager was here a full season was Pochettino. In his last season, you know, the Champions League season. That's ridiculous. You're not going to get anywhere like that, chopping and changing. You know? There is players in this squad we've got to get rid of. We know that. We 100% know that. And we saw players today that didn't have their best game again. Emerson Royale, left back. He's been asked to do a job in a position that he's not, you know, used to playing. But he was awful today, along with several other players, you know?
Sorry to interrupt. Yeah, I don't know whether they showed it on the TV or mentioned it, but Vicario actually had to go over to Romero because Romero and Emerson at half time were having words, and he had to grab. You know that, yeah?
Yeah. We were actually discussing it in the chat. It was I don't know what was said. I mean, Romero was obviously saying something to Royale. Vicario just sprinted and split them up. Obviously the frustration's there. Emerson just looked out of his depth today, and it just says something when you're bringing on Ollie Skip to play left back. You know, what does he? If you're Dragushin, what are you thinking at the moment as well? You know, because Mickey van der Ven can play left back. Yes, it takes that pace out of the back, but surely it would be better putting four capable defenders or like Mickey van der Ven at left back. He could still cover that space, and Dragushin's got to be capable of playing with Romero. He didn't do that badly when he deputised, did he? So yeah, it's honestly frustrating, but sacking Ange, no, not for me, not yet.
Honestly, when I'm so far from home, I feel like we ought to do a short podcast, but I feel like there is so much to talk about, certainly in this game and the situation right now. Billy, let's Chris, come to you.
Wait. Chris, you was there and you filmed it, right? So what was the energy like from the crowd on your back, and what did you feel that Andrew was saying? Because you were there, you were in amongst it. You stayed until the final seconds of that game to get that.
I think you'd be surprised, Ricky. A lot of people stayed. You know, Newcastle, people went. You know, even the Arsenal game at home, you know, people went. The Chelsea game, people went early. This one, a lot of people stayed. A lot of people come up to games like this for the weekend. So people think, well, I'm here anyway. So I feel like a lot of people support Ange, but then I'm noticing now there's a lot of people questioning him because they don't want to keep going to games like this and losing, you know, in the manner that we have. Like I said, I don't even know how to feel right now. I'm disappointed. I don't want to keep going to grounds, losing games in the manner that we are and seeing players, you know, not give their all. Like on Thursday, I felt completely gutted because a London derby means a lot to me. It should mean a lot to those players. And if Ange Postecoglou is telling those players to do certain jobs and they're not doing it, then, of course, that is very upsetting for the manager, everyone at the club and the fans included. But I don't know. I don't know what to make of the Ange Postecoglou incident. The only thing I would say is I think there, you know, it ties in with what Billy says. I think there is a lot of sarcasm in that, as if to say, you know, use your head. Where were we when I came in to where are we now? I completely get that. I think it's going to be a massive season, you know, next year for Ange. And I feel like in some respects in the league position where we are, and when you think about it and be realistic about it, Villa lost today. They've been really inconsistent. Spurs are fifth. We've been inconsistent. The teams below us, Man United, Chelsea, they've been really inconsistent. It's been a very poor league, really. You take those top three, they've been very consistent. But, you know, fourth and below, they've been very inconsistent in trying to get that Champions League spot and those European spots. So I think that where we are in the league right now, I think people are pleased with the league position. But we're certainly not pleased with these performances and results of late. Billy, let me come back to you. Let me get your thoughts actually on today's game. You know, going into the game, did you feel that we were going to get out of it? Because going to Anfield, we know it's a very difficult place to go. One win in 34 years at Chelsea, one win in 29 years here.
Yeah, no, not at all, man, to be honest, because, I mean, I know that Liverpool aren't in the best form themselves, but I just have, you know, I think we've won that once in my lifetime. Like, I don't have any sort of much hope going into the game, particularly the form that we're in. I think I just seen an away league table that we're 16th at the moment currently in away form over the last 10 or so away games, which is awful. And I think, you know, Klopp's second from last away game. I think there was a lot riding on it for Liverpool, a lot riding on it for us. I didn't think we started that bad as well, which is a bit frustrating. Like the first 5 minutes, we looked all right, which you can kind of tell with Tottenham normally in the first 5 minutes, whether they're going to turn up or not. And it was a bit different to what we'd seen against Chelsea, at least. But then after that, they just kept getting in time and time and time again. And I just knew, you know, they could have helped themselves to countless goals, which is what they ended up doing.
Billy, with the comments that Ange has come out with, certainly in the last couple of days, would you have thought that the players would have given that little bit more? Or do you think some of the players have been upset about what he said?
And you know what? When you saw that Villa lost today, you'd think, mate, that's a big incentive, isn't it? We can go within 4 points of them. They've got Palace away and another tricky game. And they've got Liverpool as well, I think, with two tricky games. You'd think there'd be a bit more than that, but it just wasn't. There was nothing. And I like the way Ange challenged the players because they've needed it. You know, we say this all the time under many different managers. These players need calling out. They need challenging. Just, I don't know what it is about our mentality. It doesn't seem to work. I don't know what's ever going to kick the fire under these players sometimes. So I like that you challenge them. But again, just the same old, yeah. I was really disappointed with their response.
Billy, do you think that he has upset any players? And if so, who?
No, I don't. I think all the players are behind him. When you listen to their interviews and stuff, I think the only one that's sort of a question mark at the moment is Maddison, because his body language the last two games has been pretty, I think he's been really annoyed at being subbed and stuff, but you'd think they would use him to maybe use that as sort of a motivation to come on. I thought he did look okay when he came on, actually. But when you look at the way the players talk about him after the game, I saw Romero was retweeting and liking stuff about positive about Ange. It's kind of different to what it was under like Mourinho and Conte, when you could tell the players have just given up. I just think it's more of a mismatch rather than anyone's actually given up playing his football, if that makes sense.
I think it's a fair point to say that we certainly looked a different side when Maddison and Richarlison come on. Ricky, let's get your thoughts on the defeat today.
Mate, I mean, it was a massive punch in the gut. So, 50 minutes before the game, there was a lot of Sky Liverpool loving, and I just could feel something in my stomach start to turn a little bit. And I was like, oh, mate. I mean, as it is, you know, the history at Anfield is not great. And, you know, a bit like Chelsea turning into Brazil. If Liverpool are having a bad day, they never have a bad day against us, really, do they? Especially at Anfield. But the first 10 minutes were positive. you know, there was a bit of a zip about them. It did look like we was going to have a bit of a reaction. But again, the first blow, the first kick in the knees, and it just deflated us a little bit. You know, I did feel that, okay, you know, we speak about Mickey van der Ven and losing his pace from a centre-back point of view. But, you know, going up against Salah, I would have stuck him on the left. It was a perfect opportunity just to try that. I mean, we've had four fullbacks in defence. Why not have three centre-backs in the fullback? Do you know what I mean? Like, why not give it a go? You know, especially up against Salah, you know. So it was a really, I could see it happening. I could see it progressing throughout the game. And, you know, after that first goal, I said at 20 minutes to the Hart man, Darren Hart, I said to him, I said, I feel like turning it off now. Like, because I could just feel it in my stomach. And it just perspired that way. That's why once it got to 4-0, I had to turn it off because I was going a bit mad by myself. And I was looking crazy in the kitchen because I'm swearing to nobody. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's no, it's just me, you know? So, but I'm swearing to nobody and I want to kick and break stuff in the bloody well kitchen. So I was like, you know what? 70 minutes, I need to make this. I need to turn it off. I need to turn it off, you know? But these are traits. Boys, these are traits, like you said there about many a manager. How many times have we kind of ended up destroying a manager? You know, Poch was angry at the end. You know, Mourinho was a bit flabbergasted at the end. Conte lost his plot. Nuno was there for 10 games. He never looked like he really kind of, apart from that first speech before he got on the training field, at training field, I should say. You know, he never really looked enthusiastic to be Tottenham manager, and it's so transpired, you know. And now we've got Ange, and you know what? Like, some managers and some players fit the shirt and they fit the club, and his fundamentals, his idea of football, the way he picks players based on character and integrity and not just the money. Like, I think there are a lot of things there that are positive, but we have done this many a time. And you know what you're saying there, Chris, you said that, you know, about the London Derby there, that, you know, if Postecoglou is telling them to go out there and do it and they are just not doing it. How many times have we heard that? We've heard all of those managers say that. I remember Mourinho saying it about the Europa League game, you know, where their manager was in prison. Like, it's happened so many times. Hugo Lloris has said it, you know, like, this is not the way this is not the message that we've been given. I don't know why this has happened. So there is a trait happening. When Ange talks about change, I think he's talking about the biggest thing, and that's mentality. That's the head. Like, you know, like, you can train, you know, rondos left, right and centre, or how to dribble or do a free kick in training. That's great. But it's like, to get the head in the right place, to be able to go against adversity, to be able to fight when the chips are down, to be able to go against when you think everything's against you, VAR, the refs, you know, the players, when everything's against you, that's when you see true, true players kind of step up and kind of go for it and pull the rest of the team together and get them going. And when we've had the biggest test this year, you know, both cup games, for whatever reason, and we've spoken about it on this podcast, but both cup games get knocked out early in the early rounds. You know, this is the one thing that we've got to fight for now, you know, is a respectable finish. We've got the toughest set of fixtures at the end of the season. Yeah, we have. Yeah, having all of these teams back to back, absolutely. But what do? Do you step up and go, yeah, let's go get it? Like, let's go fight it. Let's go. I want to show the league. I want to show these other players that I admire what I'm about, that I'm the one to be looked at, that we're the ones to be feared. Do you know what I mean? Like, forget about them. It's all about us, like we was at the beginning of the season. No, because we've hit tough times, and now the sucker punch is easy. It's easy to be hit. It's easy to be triggered. You know, it was easy at the beginning when there was nothing to fear, those first 10 games, that everyone was like, oh, yeah, this is working. All right, yeah, great, this is working. But now the proverbial has hit the fan, and it's like they look lost. They look lost, and that's what happened today. It was another one, and it hurts every single supporter out there that support this team through thick, thin, and ugly. You know, that it's happened again. Do you know what I mean? It's happened again. It's the same cycle. But I think, like Craig was saying earlier, that we have to push through this, man. Like we have to push through it. We have to take the hit on the chin of these performances, of this display, and give this manager a summer where he can actually do some work. Give this manager a summer where he can actually bring off somebody off the bench that believes and can change the game and do all the things we want them to do, you know? I think it's just tough, man. I don't know where I'm going, but it was a tough day, and I was fuming. I was fuming after Newcastle because I knew that was a failure, and we have just continued to fail. We haven't learned the lessons from the last defeat. We haven't kind of worked on the things that we're good at. You know, we're in a bit of a limbo state, and it just continues today.
I think, Ricky, that's where a lot of fans are questioning. You know, we had 15 days to prepare for the Arsenal game. You know, conceding 4 at Newcastle, it could have been a whole lot more. Craig, let's come to you on this. I think fans are being critical of Ange because it's like, well, what have you improved from the last game? What have you changed from the last game? Can you see any changes in the Newcastle game to say today?
Other than personnel, not much, if I'm brutally honest. I mean, it's the same. How many times have we said it? Like, we start off pretty well in most games. First 5-10 minutes, you know, we're at it. We were actually pushing Liverpool back for those first 5-10 minutes today. And I thought, oh, it don't look too bad today. And then, of course, the wave comes. Things change. We drop back. And it's that midfield. He clearly doesn't know what his best midfield is. That midfield didn't look very creative today at all, did it? And at times, Bissouma just looked all at sea. Bentancur was losing the ball. Not quite sure what Kulusevski was doing. I don't think we have played all season for 90 minutes and Ange ball, whatever Ange ball is. I don't think I've seen it. You've seen it in spells and you've seen it less and less in spells in this part of the season. Those first 10 games, I think we kind of shocked everybody. They couldn't quite work us out. And then people did start to work us out. And that Chelsea game has been the turning point almost of the season, hasn't it? That mad 15, 20 minutes where obviously Romero got sent off, Van der Ven, Udogi. It was that kind of turned everything. And we thought that once we got all those players back, Maddison, that everything was going to be right in the world. And of course it wasn't, was it? Just shows there's still loads of work to do. I think most of us thought we had a pretty good summer transfer window. Getting Maddison in, everybody was excited. Van der Ven, all right, we lost Harry Kane. God, could we do with him back? And then the January transfer window, we were one of the only teams to spend any money and strengthened again. But there's just so much work to do and players to get rid. It just goes to show that he thought Emerson Royale was the best choice at left back, and he clearly wasn't today. But then again, like I say, you take Van der Ven out the middle, you put Dragusin in, you lose Van der Ven's pace. But surely for me, that would have been a better choice. Van der Ven actually going forward, when he's made a couple of runs, you can't, you know, his pace, he just goes, knocks it and goes. I'd have loved to have seen that actually. What have we got to lose? Got to try something different. But coming back to the midfield and the attack, he just clearly doesn't know. I'm not Richarlison's biggest fan. I love the guy, not so much the player. But when he came on, we had a spearhead. We had somebody that actually could play number 9, and Son can't play number 9. It's only for weeks. We all know that. He can't play if he's back to goal. He's much better on the wing running at people. So there's positions we need to strengthen in. I just want this season to end, Chris. I don't know about everybody else. I'm just fed up to the back teeth of it. I'm just had enough. Absolutely had enough. I want us to get Europa League now, obviously. Just 2 more wins. Probably 1 more win might do it. I don't know. But I've just gone from expecting Champions League to hoping we scrape Europa League and seeing where Newcastle are. They're right up our arse. So if we lost that fifth place, however, God, doesn't bear thinking about, does it?
Well, Billy tweeted the other day saying that we want Manchester City to win the game at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. We've got to play the first team out.
Exactly, mate. That's our only way. I worry if we play the kids, we might beat them at this rate.
Yeah.
Billy, in all seriousness, what positives would you take from this season? Because I know, you know, we're all unhappy. We don't want to keep losing game after game, you know, four games on the trot. But overall, seeing the bigger picture, the perspective, and what Ange has been saying, certainly the last couple of days, what positives do you take from this season?
There are some building blocks as a positive, I think. You know, you've got players like Van de Ven, Saar. I know Saar's not in particularly the best form at the moment, but you've got Udogi. My player of the season has recently changed to Romero. I think it's been excellent. He's probably the only player of the last this spell lately that has got any sort of pride left in him. You've got Porro. There's some building blocks there for sure. If there's any positives, I think there's stuff there that we can work with. And I think the thing that killed us today in particular was the front three. I thought they were awful. And that, you know, Kulusevski doesn't seem to be able to fit Ange, what Ange wants to do in a winger. Johnson on the left was struggling. And then when it went to Richarlison in the middle and Son on the left, it looked a bit better. So I think the positives will be Ange will know hopefully what we need to strengthen. And I think it's particularly the front three and the number six. And I think if there's anything we can take, there are some building blocks for sure. We've got Vicario, and these players are playing in the Premier League for the first time, like Udogi, Van de Ven, Vicario, they're all going to get better. They're all going to build on that. So I think the only positive I can take is at least we should have a pretty clear idea of what we need to do in summer, because there's a lot of it.
Billy, what is that clear idea that we need to do in the summer? Because I think that list has certainly grown over the last couple of months, certainly when we're losing game after game like this. I think it is really clear what Spurs need, but that list seems to be growing as the days go on.
Yeah, and I think the big thing is we need a number six who's going to shield the defence, because there's not enough protection back there at all. And we have to improve the front three significantly, I would say. Like, there's not enough quality in that front three at all. And the likes, you know, we've lost one of the best strikers in the world, probably the best striker in the world. Haven't really replaced it with anywhere near enough quality. And we're going to have to buy some seriously, you know, good talent up there if we want to compete beyond the Europa League. So, and I think what is also killing us as well is we don't have enough rotation options for our fullbacks, and it's ended up with Udogi getting injured. And Porro just absolutely spent, doesn't he? Like, he's not having the same influence on game as he was. So I'd like to see some rotation there as well. And I think Ange will know what he needs. And I think it's going to be a lot of players in and out, but we're going to have to do it at some point, I think.
Talking about players going out, we'll come back to the game in a minute, but talking about players going out the door, I just want all three of you to just shout some names at me of players that you think will head out the door. And do you think there will be one or two surprises where we will actually be really surprised that they are going?
Emerson, Bissouma, Kulusevski, mind you, they say he ain't going. Sessegnon and Dombele coming back.
I said surprises.
I think we'll keep Skip for the homegrown.
Do you think Richarlison will go?
Yeah.
If an offer comes in, agreed.
I think it's just for the financial reasons. We can't afford to turn it down, and he's not going to be able to rely on him for 38 games. I thought he was really good today, actually, but he's just not fit enough.
Yeah, he certainly enjoyed playing it.
Lo Celso, I think, is a bit hard done by, to be honest, I think.
Yeah, agreed.
It's a strange one with Lo Celso, because we've seen so often under Ange this season where he's brought him on late on, given him very limited minutes. He's done well, and he hasn't really been given more of an opportunity. Ricky, let's come to you. Let's talk about the starting 11. Vicario, Porro, Romero, Van de Ven, Emerson, Bissouma, Saar, Bentancur, Kulusevski, Son and Johnson. Subs today, Austin, Dragushin, Skip, Højbjerg, Lo Celso, Maddison, Richarlison, Brian Hill and Mikey Moore. When this starting 11 came out, I know I've been saying this for the last couple of weeks, certainly, that it's very hard for us fans now to predict the starting 11, and it's very hard to predict the midfield three, because Ange's had about 25 trio combinations this season. Any surprises there for you? Were you surprised that Richarlison didn't start this game? And of course, it was rumoured and reported that Maddison had a knock in the Chelsea game, which is why that he didn't start this game. But he looked all right to me when he came on.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't hear about that knock, but I was surprised that Lo Celso hasn't been given a go. I thought this would have been a good game to give him a go because we've been troubled in that creative midfield area. And, you know, he came on for a couple of minutes the other night and, you know, set up the most amount of chances. And he was only on the field for 4 minutes. Do you know what I mean? But so it's... So I would have at least given him a go in this, and especially if Maddison was not required to be fit enough to start the game. And like I said earlier, you know, for me, up against Salah at left back, I know we miss the Van de Ven pace in the middle, but I would have switched him to mark Salah, you know, and to try bombing up the wing and trying to get those 1-2s. We've seen that he's happy on the ball. He's not afraid of being on the ball. And I think that could have just worked for us a little bit better today. And then start Dragusin with Romero there. I mean, you know, we've got a lot of work to do. You can see there, the reason that he changes his midfield so much, some through injury, some through suspension, but it basically says that nobody's really stepped up to grab a shirt. You know, Sars had a good periods and then had a little drop off, but also had international tournament in January. And, you know, Bentancur's coming back from an ACL, pushed it to get into the side, you know, was knocking on the manager's door. Let me play. And he came in the first couple of games. You know, we saw flashes of that old Bentancur, but little bit by little, we haven't really seen his influence or 60 to 90 minutes of a vintage Bentancur performance. We haven't seen it. So, you know, Højbjerg, come off the bench, looks good. Comes off the bench and kind of gives us a little bit of experience in that midfield and does well for a little bit. You give him a start and it really doesn't go at all well. And then even against the Gooners, when you bring him off the bench, the first three touches, he just kind of, you know, they were very, very poor. And then on the fourth one, he was smiling. And I was just like, you know, even if that's a sarcastic smile, don't be smiling at the fourth time that you've just kind of given it away or had a really poor touch. So all of these things, there's been so many different ones. Bissouma, in and out of form. Again, we haven't seen that Bissouma of the first couple of games. And you know, some, again, through injury, some through suspension. And again, in international tournament.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
You know, so he's had to chop and change that midfield. And to be fair to him, when it's come down to dropping somebody, you know, for form-related reasons, i.e. Maddison, he hasn't been afraid to drop that person and he's given another person a go. So he's not afraid to give people a go. He's not afraid to hold people to account when they're not stepping up. But that's why he's had so many different permutations of the midfield and none of them seem to be working or gelling right now.
Craig, I know you mentioned Radu Dragusin. I tell you, he must be extremely disappointed. What must be going through his head at the moment when he sees Eric Dier, you know, playing the Champions League, starting for Bayern Munich? He could have been him, not getting much game time under Postecoglou. Were you surprised by the starting 11 today?
I was surprised. No, I wasn't really surprised, to be honest, because of the back four, because I just kind of thought that Ange was going to do that. I didn't think he would try Van de Ven at left back. So I wasn't surprised. It's not to say I didn't want to see it, but I wasn't surprised with that. I was surprised that Richarlison didn't start, like I say, because it's glaringly obvious to most of us that we're Son's pretty ineffective in a number nine role. I know he scored early part of the season when he was in that role, but, you know, a hat-trick against Burnley, you can't really judge on that, can you? So, for me, Richarlison was the better choice up front. Something that occurred to me the other day, and what I don't think any of us appreciated, and I certainly didn't until I thought about it, how important players like Perisic were when they used to come on and his delivery. And, you know, I think we forget just how good he was and how he would come on and do stuff that other players weren't capable of doing. And for me as well, I know this is probably going to be unpopular, but Solomon, he just brought us something a bit different. It would have been good to have another option there. And, of course, we've been without him since October or November. So there's two sort of wingers we've been without. And, you know, not key players, but players that could just do different things. You know, Perisic's delivery was better than, I would say, most of our wingers. So he's had to contend with a lot, Ange. And that's not saying that he's, you know, I feel sorry for him and he's not to blame, certainly, for, obviously, he picked the team that went out today. I thought, that where's the creativity coming from? I would like to have seen Lo Celso in there today. But, you know, he carries it on his shoulders and he has to stand by his decisions. And he's been quite clear over this last week in what he said in press conferences. He will die on that hill. He will play how he wants to play regardless. And he's quite open with, you know, he would quite happily sit there and say, look, mate, we're going to play this way. It's up to you to beat us. And sadly, teams have been doing it and teams have been working us out and just compact that midfield. There's no room. And the, you know, final balls haven't been good enough. The finishing hasn't been good enough. Saw a glimpse today, obviously, with our goals that we can do it when we want to. Great finish from Richarlison. But, yeah, it's not been a happy watch probably since Christmas, has it? And a lot of work to do. You can see the cracks beginning to appear on Ange. I just hope he's backed in the summer. I'm sure he will be. They've got to, because they're not. I can't see him sacking. It just can't happen.
Let me go right there, Billy. Let's come to you on that. Daniel Levy in the board. We've seen so often before where managers have needed an extra player or two to really compete and go to that next level. Pochettino, of course, said it. You know, sacked in the November. Shortly after taking us to a Champions League final, Jose Mourinho sacked 6 days before a final. Conte getting club signings rather than players that he actually wanted, or, you know, superstar signings that all of us fans expected. How confident are you as a fan that Ange Postecoglou will get exactly what he wants? Because he said in the press conference in the last couple of days, the club shares my vision.
To be honest with you, mate, I have no confidence whatsoever in our board. I think it's been 20 years of the same mistakes over and over again. There have been certainly some clear signs of the last few years that it's getting slightly better in recruitment. We bought some decent players, got some new guys in, but I just feel like when it comes to the crunch, we just never take that final step, and it's always that bit which we struggled with under Enek and under Levy, and that's where we are again now. You know, it's going to be financially painful if we want to progress from where we are now. It's not going to be sort of bringing in this amount of money, spending the same amount of money. We're going to have to seriously invest. And I really hate to do that. I hate to do it all the time. But if you compare it to Arsenal, who I do hate, found themselves in a pretty similar situation a few years ago with a manager who was in the first season. He got rid of a lot of players and they backed him with all the sort of players that he wanted over the next 3-4 seasons. They spent 700, 800 million and look at them now. And that's realistically, we're a similar sized club to Arsenal. And it's frankly the only way we're ever going to do it. We're going to have serious investment, and it's that which I would worry about, because it's not tend to be something that we've ever seen under these owners.
Billy, going back, 5 years when Pochettino obviously come out and said that we need a painful rebuild, we need the furniture to change in the mansion, and Ange Postecoglou has said that there will be bumps in the road. Obviously, we're going through a big pothole at the moment, but these managers have actually come out and said it's going to be painful. So are us fans being a little bit impatient about what's happening?
I think I would never sort of personally, I would never speak to the fans, but, you know, I would never tell them how to feel in terms of that, because I feel like as Spurs fans, we've been through the ringer the last 20, 30, 20 years, you know, we've been starved of any kind of meaningful success. So I think the anxieties that come of no trophies in 16 years and the anxieties of coming, you know, always failing to take that very final step is a very valid feeling. But I do think that there are some signs that we are doing it. Like this, if you look at the Champions League final squad, it's a completely different squad now. We have seen a large turnover of players since then. Only really Son that is there. So I think there might be some steps, but it's this getting to this point is always the bit where Enic always let us down. They let Harry Redknapp down at this point. They let Pochettino down at this point. When it really comes to the crunch and it really comes time to now really show up with some, you know, serious investment, this is the bit where we've genuinely failed. So it's going to have to be different this time. Otherwise, going back to the same cycle that we always go back in, you know, the players will give up on Ange, we'll go for a new manager, we'll do this all again, and then we'll keep doing this over and over. This is the bit where we've got to be different. They've got to do something different, which they haven't done for 20 years, and seriously think, right, we're going to stick with this manager now, and we're going to heavily invest to the squad that he wants, and we're going to give it a real go. Because unless we do that, we're just doing the same mistakes again and again.
Ricky, let's come to you. I kind of touched on this the other day about do you believe that the board will really back Ange? Because like I said, he's come out and said that they buy into his vision. You know, when going back, you know, 72 days, we waited for a manager to be appointed. Nuno Espirito Santo walked through the door. We've gone through a different, we've gone through a fair few managers since then. It has to be different this time. It has to be.
It exactly that, Chris. It has to be, and I look at the changes that they've put in over the last couple of years. You know, if you think about ever since Paratici came in, I know he's not officially there no more, but you know, when he came in, there was this idea that Levy was going to step away from the football side and stuff, and it was going to happen a little bit by a little bit. Obviously, what happened with Paratici, and we brought in Langer, and they've got a new scouting system, they've got a new philosophy. If you look at the managers that they were after before we signed Ange, they were looking at Xabi Alonso. You know, they were looking at managers that can play that style of football and that wanted to go that way. You know, Arnie Slot was another one that the club were looking at. So they were looking at playing attacking front-footed football. But you have to learn the mistakes from the past. Exactly what Billy was saying there. You know, if we're going to do this, if we're going to be with this manager and go this way, then we have to feel the pain. And this is the pain right now. But we can only take the pain if it's worth it. If there is going to be sunshine at the end of this road, do you know what I mean? Like, if it's worth it. And this summer is a really important one to again show us fans and supporters that this is what you've been waiting for. You know, we're gonna go for it. We need that, and to show the manager that he's being backed. And like you said there, he said it out open. They believe in my vision. That means they've got to back the vision. But we need exactly what Billy was saying there. You know, it's come to the crunch now. You know, and you need to make the right moves. You've got to learn from the mistakes of the past. You've got to kind of change the same way that Ange is calling for change in the squad. There has to be major change mentality wise throughout the club. Everything has to shift, because the reason that we haven't kind of put the money down on the table or gone and got that player when it comes to the crunch from the board side of things is almost a reflection of the playing side of things. Every time it gets to the crunch, we don't turn up.
Ricky, would it have been more acceptable for results and performances like this at the start of the season rather than now? Because, you know, we've got a couple of games left, three games left in the Premier League. We're losing game after game in the manner that we are. Is that the issue the fans have? Because if we'd have had results and performances like this at the start of the season, perhaps people would have expected it a little bit more.
If we had it at the start of the season, Chris, I think he probably would have been gone by Christmas, because this is the Celtic manager. There was a lot of disbelief. You know, there was a lot of uncertainty for Ange Postecoglou I was one of the people that wanted Poch back. Do you know what I mean? So when we didn't go that way and we didn't make that phone call, I was like, well, I don't know who we're going to go for and I don't know what direction we're going to go in. And when Ange came in, I think that those first 10 games were fantastic. That's what keeps the hope alive in the pit of my stomach right now, because we saw a great example of what this side can be and what this Tottenham can be. This side, so I don't think if it would have been the other way around, he wouldn't have got to Christmas. The fact that it's this way around, because it's come down to the crunch. This is the last thing that we can achieve. These points are the last things that matter right now. Where we finish in the table, it's the last thing that we can hold on to right now. It's the last thing we can fight for.
But when he said in his press conference the other day, it's natural for supporters to worry. If some supporters are wavering, it's down to me to change it. Going into next season, you know, we've got the whole summer. Do you think the fan base will be wavering? Do you think they will be worried until, you know, dare I say it, household names, superstars come in through the door, which I've said on this podcast many times. The last signing I really got excited about, world-class signing, Jurgen Klinsmann back in 94. That's a long time ago.
It is a long time ago. But this has to be the time. You know, when we look at the managers that we've had over this time, you know, Mourinho was never going to stay for more than three seasons, even if he was successful. It's the same as Antonio Conte. Right now, if we sack Ange, the people that are out there are not going to be like a long-term but want-to-win-now type of manager. I think what has happened right now, when it's come down to the crunch of getting results to get over the line, the same thing has happened. And the man at the helm right now has seen that and is going to, you know, hold those players to account, hold the ball to account and go, these are the things that need to change. And the thing is that if you look at some of the transfer connections that have been made early, like as a Tottenham fan, come on. Like, how many times do we buy players early? How many times do we invite them to the stadium and then almost like set up deals before the season's even? These things don't happen to us, really. They've only just started happening, you know, like last summer. You know, we got some players in early straight away, made a statement, and then we done what we done. So, again, we're getting linked with players and we're getting linked with, negotiations early before this season is done. So I think we have to hold on. I think we have to feel the pain. When you talk about a painful rebuild, it's not just going to be painful for Levy's wallet. It's going to be painful for us. We've got to go through it, though. We've got to kind of, because this has happened time and time and again, and they have to give it a go. They've got to drop some money on, and it's not just about the value of the player, but the number one targets that this manager believes that are going to take us forward. You know, they are out there. You know, so there's a lot that needs to happen. But you can see that Postecoglou has a knowledge of this. He said it, that it's going to take it from the start. Even in the first 10 games unbeaten, he was saying it. There's still a long way to go. There's still a lot of work to do. Do you know what I mean? He's never been happy with that front three and the output of that front three. Even in the games that we've done great in, he has not been happy. You know, there's not been a moment when he's been 100% happy, which shows me that he knows who's on this fight and who's not on the fight. And he said as much in his press conferences. So you've got to let him change it. You've got to back him and give him a go. If we go and get Tuchel's not going to stay for more than two seasons, is it? We know that because we're not going to spend 100 million on every player that he wants either. You know, Ancelotti's not going to come here, you know, and we've got to do it. I think that this man fits us, you know. I think we've just got to bite the bullet. We've got to invest in him, invest in this idea. We've got to go through the pain. And my gosh, I feel that he will fight to the bitter end to get a success.
Craig, when Postecoglou said that some of the players are not buying into what he wants, and when you saw him so angry on the sidelines at that Chelsea game at Stamford Bridge on Thursday, who are those players that are not buying into what he wants to do?
I'm not sure they're not buying into it. I just think some of them are not capable of doing it. Some of them try, but fail miserably. I think he gets frustrated with Bissouma. I don't know who it was he was shouting at, saying pass the effing ball forwards. I can't remember who was doing that at the time. It could have been Bissouma. I don't know. I think there's several players. Emerson Royale is clearly not ideal for his system. We know that. Oddly enough, I always thought one of the players that he's on loan at the moment, Jed Spence, is it comes to be the forgotten man. I thought he could play that system. I personally would like to see a doggy play further up the pitch as well and bring in another left back and kind of rotate. Because it seems weird to say that because we seem to have had tons of wingers. Everybody's saying, oh, we keep buying wingers. Well, they all get injured. How many players have we got out on the left? Davies, Werner, the doggy, Solomon, Perisic. That left wing curse, you know. We've lost some names, as I said earlier, from that left hand side. Who else? I don't know, to be honest with you. I could just reel off a load of names and saying people aren't buying into it. I don't think he's lost the dressing room. I just think the players aren't doing what he's asking them to do, Chris, if I'm brutally honest. And that's what probably frustrated him more than anything. I've never seen him as animated at that Chelsea game as I have before. It was telling, yeah. But I think even the calmest man in the room, which is generally Postecoglou, would get frustrated when you can, you know, you think you've been working on this all week on the training ground and you're not doing what I'm telling you to do.
Yeah.
I've seen the people that are calling for him say he's tactically inept and like, you know, he was saying about the Eric Dier thing, saying we don't work tactically. We've had two managers that are master tacticians in Conte and Mourinho and people wanted them out. So, and now we've got a man at the beginning of the season thought, yeah, he fits Tottenham, he's gung-ho, you know, the attacking football. And now people are saying that he's not tactically aware enough. You can't win. So, you know, at some point you've got to settle with what you've got and you've got to back the person that was chosen. And they've got to do this with Ange now. Regardless of these last few results, they've got to back him. And as I say, then once he's got this squad assembled, hopefully we'll get five or six names in and five or six going out. And then you can judge him at Christmas. And if he's still bad, perhaps questions need to be asked. But you've got to give him time. And we are so fickle. We are so quick to judge as Tottenham fans and probably football fans all over the world. You want instant success. I think that's part of the way we live nowadays. Everything's instant. Everybody wants things instantly and nobody's got any patience.
I don't know about instant and patience. We've waited 16 years for a trophy, as Billy rightly said. You know, 91, last time we won an FA Cup. It's ridiculous.
Oh, I know, Chris. Yeah, I'm talking about Ange. I'm not talking about, you know, they've made mistakes before with managers. We all know that. But I'm saying you've got to look at this and say, like, we've tried getting managers in, win now managers, and then sacking managers when that don't work, sacking managers before cup finals. You know, as we said before, definition of madness is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. You stick with Ange, give him two seasons. You've got to give him two seasons, I would say, not Christmas. You've got to give him all next season. That's really backing somebody and sticking with somebody, like they did with Arteta, like they did with Klopp, like they did with Ferguson when he first came to Manchester United. The results weren't great. You've got to back it. People are going to be upset. We're going to lose games. But you've got to back him. You've got to back him and give him time. Because I am sick and tired of us sacking managers, getting the new manager bounced for a couple of games, and then it all going to rat crap again. I'm just sick of it. You've got to stick with this guy. Stop moaning. Suck it up. We all moan. Yeah, I get that. The results have been bad. Last four games have been terrible. But we've got to back. We've got to stick with it. At some point, you've got to stick with it because there's no quick fixes here. We've got to stick with it.
Craig, let me just say, you're probably the one that moans the most on this podcast, by the way. And you're saying don't moan. Craig, I want to stay with you because Roy Price writes here. It's the summer that the board needs to prove itself. In my opinion, I think that. We did do some good business last summer, and it was very clever business. We thought it was very clever business in the January transfer window, because not a lot of Premier League clubs done business in the January window. Welsh guy, 2014, writes here, set piece coach and a team of top psychologists would probably be the best signing this summer. Would you expect, and I know Ange has probably hinted at this as well the other day, would you expect him to change the backroom staff in the summer for next season?
I think changes do have to be made in that department. Yes, it is unusual for a manager not to bring his own team with him. I always did find that a bit odd. Obviously, the way he works, but I just found that a bit strange because most managers have a team around them already and they bring them in en masse. Quite clearly, there have got to be changes now. Now, where that goes to and how far that goes, do you get rid of Mason? Do you get rid of Jedinak? I can't think of any others, actually, off the top of my head, names-wise. But you've certainly got to look at bringing people in. Psychologists are not a bad shout. You know, perhaps I should get Darren Brown in, you know, hypnotise all the players, you know, make them believe, because there's clearly something not quite right there. But, you know, sports science is such a massive thing, isn't it? Richard Whitehead's probably the best one to ask about that. He would know more about that than any of us. But he did hint at that. You're right, Chris. He did hint at saying that changes have to be made kind of everywhere, and it's not just the playing staff. So it wouldn't surprise me at all to see some new faces come in and faces go. And probably Ryan Mason, as we've said before, probably needs to go and enhance his career and further his career away from Spurs. So it might not be a bad shout.
Billy, a word that often comes up to do with Tottenham Hotspur is mentality. And, you know, when you go to Anfield and you've won once in 29 years, what is it about the mentality with Spurs at certain grounds? And what is it about mentality under different managers, different players? Because you can keep changing the managers, keep changing the players, but the mentality doesn't seem to really change that much.
Nah, and do you know what? I think it must run deeper than that, because this is a completely different set of players that have been playing at Anfield for the last 10 or so years that we had under Pochettino. That squad has gone completely. You know, it was the same under Redknapp. That squad has gone completely. And what I boil it down to is I think the mentality of the club has to change, because I remember when Liverpool were under Klopp and they lost the Champions League final to Real Madrid. And like their fans were saying, we're going to be back here next year. And they were. And they were back there next year and they won it. And when Tottenham in the Champions League final, we said, oh, it never happened to us ever again. This is never going to happen to us again. And I feel like that kind of mentality is like inherent within our whole club, from the fans. And I do think it kind of probably comes down from the owners, because we haven't seen that they have any sort of meaningful success. But I think it's a really wide issue, and it can't just be the players and the manager, because it's like the Triggers Broom thing. Like, this is a completely different set of players, different set of manager. We're still having the same mentality problem. So it's got to be somewhere else. It's got to be something more deep-rooted. And I think personally, you'd have to look at the owners, because they're the only thing that are still here after that amount of time.
Billy, let's talk about the game itself. I know we're an hour in now and we're talking about the game. Of course, Salah had chances early on. He hit the bar. He then hit the post and then, of course, scored after 16 minutes. The goal was coming. What did you make of the first goal that we conceded?
It was really poor from Emerson Royale in particular, I think. You probably haven't seen the TV coverage, but Neville in particular was talking about this. He looked over his shoulder once and then he sort of let him go. And in the moment that he let him go, Salah got a good few yards on him. And it's just... And I know he's not a left back, but he's still a fullback and he's still a defender at heart. So it's embarrassing, really. That's a schoolboy error, isn't it? Not so looking over your shoulder when, you know, ball watching. And it just cost us. So I think Vicario could have probably done better as well. It was on the near post. Maybe he had been stronger. But that ball was on all the time, wasn't it, in the first half? That ball over the top to Salah, that sort of whip cross that they kept doing. And there's a good three or four times before that where they were basically in on goal every time. So it was coming, and then, you know, it's another lack of concentration that cost us.
Ricky, let's come to you. Give Liverpool credit where credit is due, because I thought their pressing today was exceptional. They were there. They wanted the ball. They wanted to win the ball back every single time Spurs had the ball, particularly when we had a goal kick. There were times today I was quite disappointed with us defensively, because even, I'll come on to it in a bit, but even at a corner, you know, we seem to look up and it's like, oh, the corner has been taken. We just didn't seem to be ready for it. But after 33 minutes, Vicario to Emerson, Liverpool's pressing was so good. We were so slow. Romero was then tackled. Gakpo went down in the box. It went to VAR. They said no. But what has changed from the start of the season where we've been moving the ball so quickly? I remember pre-season, I was so excited because all I heard Ange say is move the ball forward quicker, faster. Everything was about, you know, speed. What's changed for you to now?
Fear and a lack of bravery. We had no fear when we started this, you know, because we was at rock bottom. I know how you, we're feeling the pain right now, but let me tell you, I was in the depths, you know, last year, at the end of last year. I didn't even care about, I didn't even care about what manager we signed or what players we signed. I was just like, because I didn't know what we were doing and where we were going. And when we started this process, you know, Ange instilled a no fear and be brave style of football, you know, something that Pochettino gave to us, you know, to be brave, to make the risky pass, to not play it safe, to not play it back. Do you not remember that that preseason game, Chris, where I can't remember which one it was against, but Højbjerg started and he hoofed it up. It was on the tour. It wasn't back here. It wasn't Shakhtar the next, but he hoofed it. And like Postecoglou went mental. And I thought that was probably Højbjerg's last Tottenham game at that point.
It was the Shakhtar Donetsk game.
Was it the Shakhtar one? Okay. But yeah, I was kind of thinking, well, yeah, I mean, that's it for Højbjerg right there. Because, you know, if you can't play the way that he wants you to play and you're really kind of, you're a good player and you're good at what you do, what you specialise at, but you're not the right fit for Ange, then I thought he was on his way, but you know, obviously he ended up staying. So then we've got that kind of that limbo again with a player who's at the club, who's been at the club for a long time, that is respected, but at the same time is not really an ideal fit for his system. But we went in, and every time that we got a positive result at the beginning of this season, it encouraged that play. It was evidence of why you should play that way. It was, you know, 3 points, tangible 3 points that, you know, if you do this, then you will win. And we had no fear of that. And then, you know, like Craig was saying earlier, that Chelsea game was a sliding doors moment. I predicted 4-0, and I feel that the way that we started that game that against Chelsea, that we were well on our way to winning 4-0 against Chelsea. And I thought, you know what, this might even be Pochettino's last game in, you know, for Chelsea. But we know what happened in that game, and it was really a sliding doors moment. We then went on to galvanize and try and, you know, pull together with the squad that we had. And we saw some good efforts, you know, not great results, but we started picking up points here and there. And then the fear just came in, mate. You know, we had no more excuses, as in, you know, injuries to call upon or suspensions to call upon, and the fear just kicked in, and we started losing. And every time that we lost, whether it was through a set piece goal or whether it was through an over the top easy ball, it's all been too easy to score against us, which shows you the fear is there right now. You know, we've seen it with the midfield play, not on their defensive play, on their offensive play. Some of it has been really easy, not risky balls. You know what I mean? They haven't. It's been too easy to read, as well as too easy to score against us. So I think that the fear and the lack of bravery, the fact that they've gone within their shell and tried to be professional and get a result, has hurt us. Because every time we haven't played Ange ball, like that litmus test at the beginning, it's gone a different way.
Craig, let's come to you. On 37 minutes, Robertson shot wide. Same minute, Gakpo shot on target, easy for Vicario. 4 minutes later, Diaz shot wide. Minute later, Romero gave the ball away. Trent shot over the bar. And then Liverpool's second goal came just before half-time in the 45th minute. Tap-in for him in the end after Vicario saved from Salah. What did you make of that goal? And also, there were boos at half-time.
Yeah, I mean, it was a decent save by Vicario. He couldn't do much. He was at full stretch. And Robertson was, he was just still running from his initial sort of cross shot, if you like. So it was just an easy tap in. I thought there was a possibility he could have been offside, but when you saw it back, he was way onside and just kept his run going and just had a tap in. there was times today, as we've seen many times over the last few weeks, of bad defending. But I don't put it all on the defenders. I think the midfield have to shoulder the blame as well. If they're not, you know, they're all part of cogs in a wheel. And if they're not doing the right thing and in the right place, then that's going to affect the team's defensive capabilities. So, we did look at sixes and sevens and it was desperate at some points, but we're kind of used to that at Anfield. Chris, I said to you, I think at the West Ham game, that I probably wouldn't say it, but I think I kind of hinted at the end, I could see us losing to City, Liverpool, Arsenal and Chelsea. And three out of the four have come to fruition. I wasn't actually going to throw in Newcastle because I actually thought we might have a chance up there and get a draw or something like that. But obviously that's just, we all know what happened there. I don't really know what else to say about you know, our defensive frailties, because
yeah,
we can all see where what it is and where the issues lie. And that second goal was coming, wasn't it? You could see it coming.
Billy, I know you've got to go. So last question for you. Burnley up next on Saturday. Score prediction and what do you think Ange will change?
I think he'll bring Maddison back in the team. I think we will, do you know what? If I was going on that game today, I would play skip left back against Burnley. Like, I thought he was much better than Emerson there. I don't know if we have many.
I don't know whether you're joking or not.
I'd start him left back. Like we're down bad, man. We've got to do something different. Or drag us in, like I know. But he doesn't seem to want to do that. I think he would have done that already if he was ever going to do that. We've got to beat Burnley, man. And it says a lot that I'm even questioning myself whether I'm going to do that at this point in time. I'm going to go 2-0. We have to beat them, right? Surely. If we don't, then I think we're in big trouble. Big, big trouble.
Well, Billy, thanks so much for joining us.
You too, man. Thank you for the therapy, guys. Yeah, it's been a pleasure.
Great, you, Billy.
Where can people find you, Billy, if they want to follow you and what you're up to at the moment?
Just Billy C on Twitter. And always, usually on Emerson Royale's Instagram comments as well. So that's about it. Thank you very much.
Billy, thank you so much.
Cheers, guys. Thank you.
See you, Billy.
Ricky, let's come to you. I know we've spoken about this before, but to boo the team off at half-time at 2-0, how are you feeling?
Mate, it was deserved. It was deserved. It was a deserved booing, mate. You know, to go in again, 2-0 down, you know, especially after the week we've had, we all knew that it was a tough challenge, but we wanted to see something. When we didn't see nothing in the first half against Chelsea, I'm like, what is going on here? After the Gooners, like, what is going on here? You know, to have the Gooner display after the Newcastle display, I'm like, what's going on here? At least there was a little bit of fight back, a little bit of pride in that second half against the Gooners. But it's like, there's a lot of what is going on here. You know, it was well deserved. And this is what I'm talking about as well with Ange, as well as the love. He's going to take that criticism. He has said to us, you know, I'm not going to tell the fans how to feel. They will let me know. And I think that, you know, as well as there's a learning period for all of these, the new players and these new players, it being their first season, it's the first season for Ange as well. And I think he's learning a lot. And I think that he will take the criticism. Same way he accepted the love at the beginning and Robbie Williams singing, you know, I think the same way he's got to take this criticism on the chin. And he's a football man. He knows football upside down, left, right and centre. He's had to prove himself every single way he has gone. You know, everywhere that he's gone, he's been doubted. Even in Australia, when he was Australia, he was doubted. There's been so many times that he was doubted over his career, and so many times he's had to pick himself up to fight and to show everybody, you know, what he's about, that he is a football man, that he does have a way of playing and it will be successful. And you've had to go through the pain to get there, you know, every single one of his clubs. So he's going to take that criticism. I think the boys deserve to take that criticism. I think it was a deserved boo, that they should know that those fans like yourself, Chris, and everybody else that driving home right now or on the train or partying up in Liverpool, everyone else that turned up there today, he knows that we deserved a lot more. especially after the last week or two. He knows we deserve a lot more. You know, we need to see a lot more character. We need to see a lot more fire. We need to see a lot more passion. We need to see a lot more want. But let him do what he's got to do. Let him get rid of those that need to get got rid of, and let him sign the ones that he really needs to sign. But this, the board and the club, we have to do it now, because if they want to stop those boos, if they want to stop those reactions, change has got to happen. And I think that's why the manager called for it.
Craig, let's come to you. Gakpo scored for Liverpool after 50 minutes, making it 3-0. Elliot, what a strike it was for 4-0. Too much space?
Too easy.
It was too easy. And again, Royale, I don't know what he was doing. He obviously thought he had more space than he did, and he didn't see Elliot coming up on his outside. But you know, sometimes you got to take it off. The goal itself was absolutely phenomenal, right in the top corner. No chance for Vicario, but he shouldn't have had the chance to take the shot, Chris. That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
People standing off. When you look, Bissouma standing off, in Bentancur didn't do enough. It was just, but the strike was absolutely phenomenal. You do not stop those, as Andy Gray used to say. And God, I just deserves for again, bad defending, allowing them too much space. This is Liverpool. It's not like you're playing a second division team or something like that. You know, this is Liverpool. They're going to punish you, especially shooting towards the cop.
I was just thinking what Ricky just said there. It must be very, very strange for Ange to go through his first season with everyone singing his name after every game.
Yeah.
And yet these last four games, you know, he stood there looking at the away end today, as you saw in that video that I played earlier. And everyone's looking, you know, some people are looking worried. Some people are looking very disappointed. As Billy said, his mate is standing there doing four, as if to say four defeats. It must be very strange for him. And it must be quite weird to go through, well, I say, the different emotions. We go through it every week, and we've gone through it for many years as Spurs fans. But it just seems really strange to me how we are finishing a season like this in this manner, because and also with Ange saying the other day about, you know, some players not being on board. I'm surprised by the timing of it all. Are you?
Is that to me, Chris? Sorry. Or
yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
I know you surprised by the question, but yeah.
Nothing surprises me now. He must be weird for him, doesn't it? Because he's gone from almost, not a hero to zero, but it's like he's gone from this adulation and people singing songs about him and playing Happy Days in press conferences and stuff like that. And now he's being questioned. But that's the life of a Premiership manager. You know, he's managing a big club. Not as big as we'd like it to be, but we are one of the best clubs in the Premier League, best supported clubs in the world. And the pressure comes with that. It was funny. My mate said to me last night, he was talking about football, and he said, I said, oh, he got tomorrow. I said, Liverpool. And he went, and I sort of like rolled my eyes. I said, you know, another defeat. Four on the spin, and he just shook it and he went, you Spurs fans, he said, you're fifth in the Premier League. What are you moaning about? And there was a part of me that I've kind of stepped back and thought, yeah, do you know what? We are fifth in the Premier League. What is the big issue here? But I think it's just the frustration. It's those years of hurt, Chris, and probably Ange, going back to your question, he'll be aware of that. He'll be aware of the history and the lack of success and all that. And that in itself brings the pressure. He probably sees these players, and you look around that squad and think, on paper, you think there's some good players here. There's a good, you know, building blocks of a good squad here. And to see them not performing, it must be just as frustrating for him. He probably wants the season over like the rest of us, to be honest with you. He wants to go away with his family and have a break and get away from it all, because that's what this club does to you. But you know, we're Spurs fans, and we're, as you say, used to it, and we come back every week for some more. I did watch till the end, Ricky. I didn't switch it off as much as I wanted to, but I wish I had in some regards.
Ricky, is there any point asking you about the last 20 minutes? Or
no, there really isn't. I haven't even been able to see highlights since I got back in. So, right, Craig, it's all Craig, man.
Yeah. Get it out of the way. Come on.
I'm going to make this really quick. Ange, of course, made a treble sub. Richarlison, Maddison, and Skip all coming on. Benzema, Kulusevski, Emerson, Royale all going off. It is fair to say that it did change the game. It gave us a little bit of momentum because, of course, we did score two goals, Richarlison and Heung-min Son. Lo Celso also came on late on. During that period of Maddison being on, he had a couple of shots, shot over the bar. A number of fans, certainly around me, weren't happy with Maddison not getting the shot on target. What did you make of the impact that Richarlison had when he came on? Because he has scored a fair few goals this season, but it's funny, I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, when he's not in the team, not many fans say, oh, we missed Richarlison today.
No, I have to say that the substitution has, I wouldn't say changed the game, because we didn't get anything out of it, but we looked better in that formation with those players on the pitch. You've got to say Son moved to the left. Richarlison, as I said before, I don't think he's the answer long term, but he did make a difference because he's a proper number nine, and we looked more dangerous when he was on the pitch. That figurehead, that's not the right word, but you know what I mean, that focal point. We just looked better. He was playing on the last man. I actually thought he might have been offside in the build-up to that, but he wasn't. I just thought we looked better. Why? Yeah, it's a difficult one. It's because Richarlison is not, he's not Harry Kane, I suppose, for want of a better word. That's why people aren't calling for him. I was surprised that he didn't start today. I just thought he would have, you know, with the Everton connection, he kind of got that, the rivalry, he loves all that, didn't he? So I was surprised that he didn't start today. But it is what it is. And many people saying that we miss Maddison, though. And many people saying, oh, Maddison should be in the team. That's the other one, isn't it? Lo Celso is probably getting more. I've seen more on Twitter about people saying Lo Celso should be given a go than Maddison. He's just not been the same since the injury. So, but yeah, the substitutions changed the game. Not for the, you know, didn't get us any points out of it. But there was a point when I thought, you know, at 4-2, I thought, could we? No, couldn't in the end, but it was a step too far. But, you know, 4-0 down at Anfield, not many teams come back from that, are they?
Ricky, is there anything else that you'd like to add about today's game before we move on to Andrew's comments and preview the Burnley game?
No, go on. Let's keep it rolling. We've let a lot out today. I've ranted a lot. You know, I've got this crazy delusional feeling that Andrew's going to get us there, but we've got to go through it. And days like today, I think, is a big kind of, I don't know, message to the board to that we've got to do this now. We do have to change our ways, like Billy was saying earlier. But yeah, let's keep it moving, man. Let's keep it moving. Come on, Chris.
Ricky, let's stay with you. Let's talk about Ange Postecoglou's comments in the last couple of days. I'm going to read you some quotes here. We need to change. Change must happen. I have to change this squad. There has to be exits. Do I have doubts? Absolutely none. It's a great challenge here. The responsibility lies with me. It's natural for supporters to worry. If some supporters are wavering, it's up to me to change that. I haven't had anything that has shown me that I have to change. As long as I'm here, we will play the football that I want them to play. Progress. Progress must happen. We've got to have progress. It's obvious that we have got to win something. I don't have patience. I want people to believe. And an interesting one, what happens after a fourth defeat, which of course has happened today, do your questions get harder? You have to confront it with the right mentality. I feel like the club has bought into my vision. Wherever I've been, I've had great support. What do you make of all those comments that come out of Ange in the pre-match press conference ahead of the Liverpool game?
To me, it says that he knows the problems ahead. He knows what the challenge is. I think that, for you know, we've had a couple of win now managers that have let it be known that we should be lucky to have them, right? But Ange comes in, sees what the problems are straight away, and wants to be here for that challenge. You know, he's moved clubs. When he's moved clubs, it's because he feels that, you know, like, I've done everything I can do here success-wise, and they can do it by themselves. I think that was one of the comments as well that he said in, I can't remember which press conference now, but he wants it to get to a point where not only do the coaches, but the players know what to do without him being there, without being told, without being directed. And, you know, that's when you're in your flow state. I spoke about it the other night, and I spoke about it in an acting term, that it's like, you know, the week you learn your lines, right? But that's got nothing to do with the performance. You know, the best actors that you've watched in film or in stage or on TV, you never sit there and think, unless they're a bad actor, but you never sit there and think, oh, he's learned those lines, because they come from within. Because when it comes down to the acting side or the art side or the performing side, you know, you've got to know the material. You've got to know your fundamentals, and then you've got to go out there and do the job. You've got to go out there and be. You've got to do it without thinking. You've got to, you know, you've got to kind of be in that scene without going, what's my next line? It should be inherent. It should be from within. And those are the best actors out there. And it's the same thing, you know, with Ange. He doesn't want them to be told every day. You know, he wants it to get to a place where they're feeling it, where they know it, when they can do it, you know, as easy as breathing. And that comes from a coaching standpoint as well as a playing standpoint. Also, with a good show, you need a good cast. You know, if there's one person that is not pulling up and is not stepping up to the performance, then it brings the whole performance down. You end up going away, if you've ever been to the theatre at all. Gents, guys, you know, viewers, listeners, if there's one person that's really bad, that will pull your eye and pull your focus. And it doesn't matter how great that show was, you're probably going to be speaking about that one person in the bar afterwards or in the train home, you know? So you need that. He wants all of those things that he was saying in those press conferences. He knows what he wants, and he knows what he needs for this mentality to change from top to bottom. You can see it. And those comments that you're speaking about there in his previous press conference, they all give me confidence, and they all say to me that he knows what the challenge is. He knows what's ahead. He knows how big of a hill it is to climb, but he wants to be here so that he can be the man that says, I changed it. You know, for all of those doubters that say Spursy, that say we crumble, to say we get battered every week, you know what I mean? Like, to be in that place, in that state, and to take that side and switch it around, to switch all of that belief around, to switch the heart around, to switch, you know, the knowledge around, to switch all of those thoughts and feelings from us fans to the players, that's his mission. And that's what it gives me. It gives me that he knows what the mission is ahead, and he wants to make it happen.
Last question for you both. Craig, let's start with you. We've got Burnley up next, a home at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, 3 p.m. kickoff on Saturday. They are fighting relegation. They've got 24 points from 36 games. They lost on Saturday 4-1 at home against Newcastle. During April, they played 5 in the Premier League. They won 1, they drew 3, and they lost 1. They beat Sheffield United. They drew away at Manchester United. They drew against Brighton and Wolves and lost to Everton. What do you expect, Craig, on Saturday?
I'll keep this. I've got no other answer than it's a must win. I mean, I'll keep this short because, look, we've had a run of 4 tough games and we've had 4 losses. We've played bloody awfully, most of them. Burnley, this is the game we've got to get. We've got, in my mind, we've got to beat Burnley and we've got to beat Sheffield United. If we do that, then we can all go away reasonably happy for the summer and just relax and watch the Euros and watch the transfer window unfold. But against Burnley, I want to see a win. Absolutely, no question. It's got to be a win. It's got to be a convincing win. I want to see fight from the players. I want to see them fight for the badge and just get us 3 points. It's as simple as that. There's not much else I can say. We've got to beat Burnley. If we don't beat Burnley, then something's something's gone incredibly wrong. I don't know what else to say on that. We've got to take 3 points against Burnley, and that is it.
Ricky, what are you going with?
What are Burnley like on set pieces?
Do you know the funny thing is, right, while we've been doing this podcast, a friend of mine has actually sent me a photograph. I don't know whether you saw it. Apparently, I was on Sky today looking this miserable.
Yeah. Oh, Chris, yeah. Mate. Oh, mate.
So, yeah, it sums up the evening. And, a four-hour journey now back to London. And I want to hear you two saying, I want to hear both of you saying we're going to absolutely smash Burnley on Saturday.
We're all going to batter Burnley.
Please.
We're going to batter them, mate. I reckon it'll probably be I'm hoping that it's going to be a 3-1. Richarlison 2, and I'm going to say Romero on the other one. But of course, we'll concede a goal as well. But let's hope that it's at the end of the game rather than anywhere during the first 90 minutes, you know. But we have to show something. You know what I mean? Yeah. And this is a perfect opportunity to do that. It's been a failing of an end of season. You know, we've got to our exams and we've failed the majority of them. Now you've got art, you know what I mean? You've got art up next as a GCSE, and all you've got to do is paint the picture. That's all you've got to do. You just got to finish painting the picture. Don't care what colour, don't care what size, don't care what shape. Just finish painting the picture. Get the 3 points, get the result, and let's keep it moving, man. You know, and think, you know, there will be brighter days ahead, Chris. You know, so have a safe journey on that trip home, and well done for going, as always, and for singing and for shouting. And all that does, you being caught on Sky Sports, all that does is show your heart, bro. Show how much you do love this club, win, lose, or draw.
Yeah. 3-0 for me, Chris, by the way. 3-0 Tottenham win.
I'm going 6-0 Tottenham.
Let's
finish on a positive. Craig, absolutely. Thank you so much for joining us, particularly after a defeat. And I must say, we've had a record 3,000 people watching today. And thank you so much for the support of this podcast. I know I always have fantastic guests on. You two are the most regular guest that we have on. So I really appreciate you two, you know, your input every single week without fail. So thank you so much. Craig, where can people find you and what you're up to at the moment?
You're on X at DM9. If you want to give us a follow, that'd be lovely. Just enjoying, well, I wanted to enjoy the bank holiday weekend. I'm not sure it's done much for me after that result today, but I will try and forget it. Stick a film on tonight after this and just relax, I think. And I think I'm right in saying the next podcast will be my 100th.
So
I'm hoping for better times. So, yeah, come on, you Spurs.
Come on, you Spurs.
100 appearances. We should have actually said, Sonny made his 300th appearance for Spurs today. Ricky, thank you so much. What are you up to at the moment and where can people find you?
You are always an honour and a pleasure. Win, lose or draw, being on with you gents and being on the pod and speaking to you fans at home, even when I'm on a rant, you know. I'm just trying to keep busy, bro, in the gym, doing a couple of workshops here and there, and then auditioning and doing all of that jazz. If you want to find me on X, it's at Ricky J Norwood. On Instagram, official Ricky Norwood. And I look forward to the next one and better days and better results ahead, my friend. Drive safe and love out to everyone around the world, because we are worldwide, around the world. Sorry you had to witness that. I know you're feeling the pain. I know it's like easy to have a knee-jerk reaction, but let's stick with it. Let's go through that pain and fingers crossed it's all worth it in the end, bro. You know, ladies and gents.
Well said. Thank you, Ricky. And as Ricky's just said there, thank you so much for all of the incredible support on this podcast. We get messages from all over the world and, you know, we're always in the charts all around the world. So it's incredible.
Got T-shirts now, Chris, you know, if anybody wants one.
Been there.
I like it.
We'll put an official announcement out about that soon, Craig. But thank you so much, Craig and Ricky. And thank you to Billy as well for being a guest. on tonight's podcast. And we will be back next Saturday when hopefully Spurs have absolutely battered Burnley and we are all smiling again, because we cannot be recording a podcast after a fifth defeat, straight defeat. It's got to be a big win on Saturday. I can feel it. Thanks for watching, everyone. Thanks for listening. Keep the faith and come on, you Spurs.
Come on!
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.